Thank you very much. Take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to read verses, we'll read verses 17 through 20. And Matthew chapter 4. So thankful. I'm getting better little by little. And Stephen Ray Nichols, a pastor in California who has Lyme's disease, dying. He preaches from a wheelchair, and sometimes his men carry him to the pulpit for him to preach. He's been at death's door probably five times, and he texted me yesterday, and I'm so glad you're getting better, that I thought I was getting ready to come to your funeral. And hearing that from a man who, you know, been close to going to heaven five times, it carries a lot of weight. And I just sat down and just thought about it. I said, Lord, thank you. I get to live for you. Amen. And the Lord's kept me, and if God calls me home, that's wonderful. But I'm just thankful for a life to serve the Lord, and glad to be in church this morning. Matthew chapter 4, and look at verse number 17. I'll read 17, you read 18 with me. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the songs, all that were taught, and the music. Lord, the time together, the fellowship. Lord, please help us in this short time. Open our hearts, and please touch us and change us. Strengthen us as your people. And Lord, all for your glory and your honor. Please, may you be lifted up, and may we draw closer. You can have a seat there. Look at our text verse. There is Matthew 4:19. I hope it's marked in your Bible. They've turned it into, it's been a song for years. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. Okay, Matthew 4:19. It's a good old, easy to learn scripture song. But this morning we're going to look at it. And if you ever sit down and think about it and meditate, I think it's one of the strongest verses in the Bible that is supposed to move us. And I wanted to just take verse number 19 and just examine it a little bit this morning. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. Make. When you were saved, you placed your faith in Christ. And you must not only remember what you are, a sinner saved by grace, but this morning I'd like to draw your attention to what God wants to do with you after you're saved. If getting saved, you know, you don't follow Christ to get saved. You place your faith in his shed blood that he did for you because of your sin and rose again from the dead. That is salvation, by grace through faith. But he said, if you, anybody, will follow me, then I'm going to make you something. I'm going to make you. We repent because of what we are. But this morning, if you read this verse, we could rejoice in what Jesus wants us to be, right? I am thankful for heaven. Jesus didn't say, follow me because of what you are already. Jesus didn't say, follow me so you can make something of yourself. Jesus said, follow me because of what I can do for you and in your life and what I can make of you. It's interesting, you know, I know the cliche, you know, invite Jesus into your life. I like thinking about that. Jesus doesn't want your life. He wants you to live his life. Amen. But for those that are partying and drugs and, you know, sex outside of marriage, Jesus doesn't want your life. He doesn't want to live your life with you. He wants you. He wants to change your life. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? When I read 1 John 3:2, it says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Romans 4:17, as a matter of fact, I'd like you to look at this because you really need to think about it. Go to Romans 4, look at Romans chapter 4, and look at verse 17. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. I'm showing you verses and then going over them quickly, but verses that you could sit down and meditate on and think about and that are, that let the Lord speak to your heart, but most people just breeze over the last part of the verse, and watch it very carefully, Romans 4:17. I'm going to read the whole verse. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He's talking about Abraham. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Watch this. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. God calls things that don't exist as what they will become. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God did for you when he saved you? He didn't save you because you were going to do him any favors in the way that you are, but he saved you with a hope of what you could become if you let him work in your life. I love the verse. I'll let you read it one more time. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. They're there. And I just that just lets me know God has a hope for every Christian's life. God doesn't make you do nothing. And if God's working in your life and speaking in your heart and you're walking with God, it's because you chose to, not because he's holding a hammer over your head. God doesn't. You want to do your own thing? Fly, be free. Have your own. That's what the word redeemed means. It means bought, purchased, received, and what? Set free. Now, what are you going to do with your freedom? You can either go fly and do your own thing, or you can return to the one that bought you. Right? That's what the word redeemed means. So, no one would have, let's go back to our text now. No one would have thought that the lonely fishermen would develop into world-changing apostles that could turn the world upside down. That men who were so handy with a net would be at ease preaching sermons and instructing converts. And that was amazing to the world. They said, you can't make church planters out of these peasants of Galilee. And this morning, when you humble yourself in God's sight because of your own unworthiness, you are encouraged to follow Jesus because of what he can make of you. If you go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I know you were just in Romans, one book over, 1 Corinthians, verses that have meant so much to me. We're looking this morning at how Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I can make you a vessel of mercy and grace that I can work through. I can make you, and I think of the potter. I think of how Jesus can take someone useless like me and use him. Look at verse 27. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things are low, things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I've heard you say, you've heard me say this before. I had 84 students in my class, and I graduated in my senior year, and I graduated 42. It doesn't get any more average, okay? My dad calls me plain vanilla. What you see is probably, you're not even going to get all that, okay? I'm Joe Normal. And if you would have known me in high school, as far as to myself, and I was literally a fly on the wall of nobody. I wasn't first in nothing. And yet, what God had planned for my life. And I can't help but read 1 Corinthians 1. God loves taking things that the world says he ain't going to amount to a nothing. And God likes making them for his glory. What? That no flesh will glory in his presence. None of us, when we get to heaven, are going to be patting ourselves on the back. That's why I'd be real careful. I don't want to lose hope of anybody. You say, well, they've been in prison and they've done. Careful. Sometimes those that fall bounce higher than those who've fallen. And God will use anybody that gives themselves to him. 1 Corinthians 1, 27 to 29. This morning, now listen to me. You say, I'm nothing. Don't you realize all that God can do with nothing? He's the creator, Jehovah, who speaks things into existence. Amen. To those who feel they have no value for the Lord Jesus calls and says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Salvation doesn't make you everything God wants you to be. What salvation does and getting saved does is it makes a changed life possible. But just because you're saved doesn't mean Jesus has changed your life. Jesus changes you if you let him, and you can tell him no anytime. Sometimes it's a partial no. It's like, well, no, you can't do this and you can't do this, but you can do this, this, and this. Sometimes it's a total no. Here we go. We're fish and we're swimming in our element. Sin, right? God comes in with the gospel net then, and he takes us and he delivers us from the life and love of sin. So the first miracle that happened when I got saved, when you got saved, was Jesus changed you from a fish to a sheep. And you went from someone who used to swim in water to now someone who needs to graze on land. The second miracle that happened when I got saved, when you got saved, is he makes us who used to be fish, we're now sheep who are supposed to go after fish. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, the invitations to everyone. He makes those who are saved carry the message of salvation, and he makes the convert and eventually one who he uses to be a converter. All right. If you're saved, God's work is only half done until you surrender to bring others to Christ. You're only half formed in the image of Christ. The full development of Jesus Christ is not there unless you have begun in some way to tell others of God's grace. Jesus didn't say, follow me so you can be saved. Aren't you glad? He didn't say, follow me and you'll be sanctified and set apart. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So what's the reality this morning? This is where it gets really stout. You could take this verse home, put it on your wall, put it on your mirror, put it on your rearview mirror in your car so you see it every time you look at it. I like putting Bible verses there, okay? There's creative ideas. This is where it gets stout. You aren't following Jesus Christ unless he's using you in some way to be a fisher of men. Because see, here's American Christianity. Well, no, see, how I serve God is this way. Okay, that's your way. But Jesus said, if you follow me, if you yield yourself to me and walk in my steps and go where I lead you, I will make you fishers of men. Every day, one of us has been given the business and job to be a man catcher. Every one of us. If Christ has caught you, then you're supposed to catch others for him. If Jesus has seized you, then you're supposed to seize rebels for him. Your prayer should be, Lord, give me grace to go fishing. God wants to raise up among us master fishermen. Isn't that neat? God wants to teach every one of us how to get folks out of hell. Isn't that wonderful? In John chapter 4, matter of fact, take your Bible and go there. John chapter 4 and look at verse 35. I'm going to give you five words to underline, to think about. Look, there is so much that happens in the Christian life if you'll just thank the Lord you're saved. If you start getting in the molly grubs and if the world starts burdening you and you start getting, just start thanking God you're saved and you'll never die and go to hell and your sins are all under the blood, and watch what it does to your spirit. Now let's take it the next step. And there's just so much that happens in a Christian's life when they quit caring about themselves and they start seeing lost people as dying and going to hell. Okay? Watch this. Look at John chapter 4. Jesus said here, look at verse 35. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. What color is wheat before the berries fall onto the ground? White. That's exactly what he's referring to. Those berries go from brown, and the whiter they get, the more fragile, and then they drop off. Look at verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. So someone plants the seed of the word of God, and someone gets to reap it. All right, look at verse 38, and I wish you'd underline the first five words. I sent you to reap. That's why I'm here. Well, no, I'm here to plant seed. I know, but Jesus said to you and me, when you read your Bible, and that's God speaking to your heart, I sent you to reap. There are people you have been sent to lead to Christ. And if you don't lead them to Christ, they are not going to get saved. You say, well, you ought to witness to them, Pastor. Jesus says to every Christian, I sent you to reap. That tells me every one of us in here, God, aren't you glad God deals with us as individuals? I sent you to reap. You to reap. Harvest. Our time's running out and the days are getting darker. I don't think anybody needs a rocket scientist to figure that out. People cannot imagine the tempests of fear that are shaking our land and are going to get worse. In America, we're told we're about 7 or 9 years behind Europe in Islamic control. The times are getting evil. But in the darkness of this world, I can either let get overcome by the evil of the world, or take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 5. What am I supposed to do about the darkness? Matthew chapter 5. Look at verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Yes, this world is getting darker, but I've been sent to be a light. And the darker it is outside, you'll notice the smaller the light shines brighter, right? That means I don't rejoice in the sin. I don't rejoice in the garbage that's happening. But Jesus told you and me, you are the light. They don't have anything. They can't see. That's why they live the way they do. You are the light. I live inside of you, and you let the light out so that everybody around you can see. You are the flashlight, if you want to. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. What's the candlestick, according to the Bible? Church. Revelation chapter 1, right? Last two verses. So what's Jesus do when he lights you and saves you? He puts you in church. That's why there's a church every Christian is supposed to go to and serve in, because they're saved. Amen? The candlestick. You are the light of the world. Here we go. We're to follow Jesus and shine his light. Lot, in Genesis 19, if you ever want to read one of the darker stories of the Bible, Genesis 19, Lot was Abraham's nephew. He was a wretched Christian who could have been a great blessing to Sodom, but he couldn't win one person to Christ, and rather vexed his soul with their daily deeds and everything he saw and heard. If all Lot would have done is led one person to Christ, he could have spared the whole city. He's a picture of a worthless Christian that could only live for himself. And when judgment came, God says, if I find 10 righteous, I won't rain fire and brimstone down. How many were found? 9. Just his family. He couldn't win anybody. What a story. What a story. I wish every child of God could feel the weight of this personal responsibility to win souls and to pray more for God to use you. There is something for you to do this morning. When I read Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, I find your part is to follow Jesus. His part is to make you into a master fisherman, right? You don't become a fisher of men or a soul winner by yourself. That's what Jesus does for you and to you if you follow him. I know something about you this morning if you're saved. If you have the Holy Spirit of God inside you and you're his child, you want to be used of the Lord. For God to use you is a desire. For some, it's stronger. But if you're saved, it's there. I know something else about you if you're saved this morning. If you're saved, you don't want anybody to die and go to hell. There's nobody that a child of God wants to go to hell. You aren't useful because you go to Bible college. A good Bible college can buy you time. But going to Bible college doesn't make you an instant success. You become useful when you follow Jesus and then you let him make you a fisher of men. You are not just to learn about Jesus in your Bible study. You are to follow him in action. Somebody said, you can't teach a message like this. Look, all people do is then they'll stress following Jesus and not be. You can't read your Bible over and over again and walk with God and pray and not love other people that are dying going to hell. You start loving what God loves, and God so loved that dark world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And the more you walk with God, the more you get God's love for that world. They're lost. They're dying and going to hell. You're not just to, okay, we are all called to work at being a soul winner. These men were told to leave their pursuits, leave their companions, and leave the world. They were to be separated to Jesus so their one business could be fishing for men. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We cannot be fishers of men if we stay in the water with the fish. I know there's a few fishermen that catch it, but you know what I'm saying. You need to be in your boat, right? What's the boat? The church. Amen? We're in the water, but we're not like in the water. You know what I mean? Okay, we're not that way. All right? All right. Fish don't become fishermen until they become sheep first, and then they come out of the water. Sinners don't convert sinners. An ungodly man cannot convert another ungodly man. The worldly Christian is never going to make a difference in the world. If you are dark, you cannot remove darkness from the kingdom of darkness. If you march with the armies of the wicked, then you can never defeat them. There has to be separation. There has to be a crowd. I used to run with them. I don't anymore. A Christian has very little influence in the world because the world has such a strong influence over Christians. Christians nowadays partake of activities that our Baptist forefathers and Bible-believing Christians would have rather died at the stake than tolerated. Christians plead and beg to do the activities of the world. And I want to say this morning, there's some you need to tell, go ahead. It won't hurt you spiritually because you're so backslidden, it won't make a difference. That's not to everybody, but there's some that fits. Our heart longing and craving show how rotten our heart really is. Worldly entertainment and activity is food only for hypocrites. As a Christian, the world and its pleasures should scare you. Many Christians cry, "How can I be like the world?" when they should be crying, "How far from the world can I get?" We are supposed to be salty. We read Matthew 5:14. What did it say in the verse before that? We are the light of the world and the what? Salt of the earth. We're the salt of the earth. Salt preserves things, right? If you don't want the meat to rot, you put the inch of salt, you put the steak, you put the salt all around it, preserves it from rotting. What do we do? Everywhere we're at, our neighborhood, our family, our job, we preserve things from rotting because of our righteousness for the Lord, right? Right? That's in your Bible many times. It's a wonderful truth. Listen closely. The only barrier of protection against God's judgment and vengeance on this world is the separation of the saved sinners from the lost sinners. Your duty as a Christian is to stand fast and to stand out. When our Savior says to each one of us, "Follow me," Jesus isn't at the party. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, and he's separate from sinners. Hebrews chapter 7. To be used of the Lord to catch fish of men, you have to follow Jesus in separation. Here's the second meaning of the text this morning. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Ready? If you would abide with Jesus Christ, he'll make you a fisher of men. These men, the apostles, were called to separate to Jesus. They were called to abide and live with Jesus. They were to be associated with him every day. They were to be his servants, his friends, because they dwelled with him. And then they caught his spirit and they became fishers of men. He made them that way. You catch the art and you learn the trade of being a soul winner when you're at Jesus' feet. In the northern mountains of Italy, our forefathers, the Vaudois, people of the valley, always paired a young preacher with an older preacher. The older preacher lived with the young man to help him develop good godly habits. And when he felt surrendered to call to the ministry, he went off to a 3-year Bible college. And that's how long they took. And all they did at that in the mountains for 3 years was memorize the New Testament. It's because it was illegal. That way, if your Bible's, when it's taken from you and burned, you'll still have it in your heart. No one had a daily companion like the apostles. Their training was matchless. Now, today, you can walk with Jesus closely and know more about his heart than anybody else because he lives inside of you if you're a Christian, if you're saved. Amen. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Listen, and there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is that friend? That's Jesus. We're to separate ourselves to him. We're to abide with him and let him make us. We are to also obey him. We can't talk about our separation and our fellowship with Jesus unless we make him our master and Lord. He has to be my authority. He's my Savior because he died for me on the cross, rose again from the dead, and I placed my faith in him. But he's my shepherd if I yield and follow. Jesus is not everybody's shepherd. He's your shepherd if he leads you. Here we go. He's your shepherd if he can tell you no. Don't do that. Do this. Many people are like, you know, nobody corrects them. God has to correct you for him to lead you. Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" If you're going to be useful to the Lord, then obedience is very important to you. If you desire to be a fisher of men, you have to copy our Lord Jesus in everything. We know that failure in obedience leads to failure of success. And if you want God to flow through you to others, you have to be a clean vessel. Anything we do that grieves the Spirit of God takes away His power. And the Lord is pitiful and He's slow to anger. But don't forget, you know, God says His name is Jealous twice in the Bible. My name is Jealous. There are things you do that infuriate me because I want your attention, right? As we follow the Lord, we do what Christ tells us, as Christ tells us, because Jesus tells us. Jesus said, follow me. If you go ahead of Him or fall behind Him, you can cast your net into the water and you'll gather nothing, right? It's only when you're with Him and you focus on being with Him. In this day of humanism and living for pleasure, many are not following Jesus, but they're following themselves, okay? We don't hold to just the Word of God, but we are original and we're free thinkers. That's what you hear nowadays. Well, don't limit yourself to the Bible. You know, really? Let God be true and every man a liar, right? This is my only source of truth. Salvation is only in the Lord Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus washes away our sin. And I'm not trying to be an original this morning. You know, somebody said, well, I'm me and I want to be an original. I don't want to be an original. I want to be a copy. I would like to be like Jesus. I'm not, but I'm learning. And that's the Christian life. I'm learning to be more like the one who died. Don't tell me how far I am from it yet. That'll discourage me, okay? But I want to be a copy. I'm not trying to be an original or make my mark in the world. You follow Jesus by separating yourself to Him. You follow Jesus by abiding in Him, by obeying Him. You follow Jesus by imitating His holiness. And you can believe the right doctrine this morning. But what you believe has to be lived. Follow, okay, unholy Christians make truth nasty to those who know about their bad testimony. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. To draw back from Christ like holiness is to draw back from your trip hour. Our power lies in following Jesus and being like Christ. Here we go. Final thought this morning. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It's what I'll do to you. Jesus works in us by the Holy Spirit to follow Him. If we follow Him, it's because He gives us grace and touches our hearts. When you follow the Lord, He makes you a fisher of men by our experience, and our afflictions help us to relate to others who have the same afflictions. Our darkest and dreariest experience as a child of God helps us to be a fisher of men when you follow Christ. Did you know God says He's going to use everything you've been through if you'll let Him to lead others who've been through the same thing? You know, unless you've lost a child, you can't empathize with somebody that's lost a child. So when somebody says, why is this happening? Why is this? I could take you to Romans 14 and I could show you God uses everything. When He fed the 5,000, He took up 12 baskets of fragments that nothing be lost. God wants to use everything in your life. I don't know why the tragedy happened, but I would lay it on the line. There's going to be somebody God's going to let cross your path suffering the same thing and doesn't know how to handle it, and they need to tell them, amen? I'm not God. I don't claim to know why. God works in our hearts and makes us fishers of men by the warnings and admonishment of the Holy Spirit. As soon as you see an individual, the thought should come to mind, go speak to that person or give them a track. This morning, I wanted to give you Matthew 4:19. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm not following Jesus when I'm doing my own thing. If what I'm doing is helping getting folks out of hell, then I know that's the Lord following. I'm going to make a strong statement. I watch Christians do things and then they always say, well, the Lord led me. And God gets blamed for a lot of things He never had nothing to do with. But Christians learn in church, if I'll just say, well, that's what the Lord led me to do, they know nobody will answer that. Just leave me alone. The Lord led me. You could use Matthew 4:19 to straighten out a lot. Don't use it to correct anybody. Okay, don't do that. You can just know the truth. When Jesus leads you, it's always to help you be a better witness. It's never to do your own thing. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I walked up to the Serviceman Center in the Marine Corps. Someone told me on ship, Brother Danny, he said, you've memorized quite a few Bible verses. You need to go see Gene Johnson. He's going to teach you how to be a soul winner. I said, a soul winner? What's a soul winner? He said, just go see him. Walked up to the Serviceman Center and saw that that Iowa farmer with his hair done back, and he said, "How you doing, son?" I said, "Good." He said, "Are you saved?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Are you a soul winner?" I said, I didn't even know what the word meant. I said, "No, sir." He said, "Do you want to be?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Well, sit down." That was Gene. That was Brother Gene Johnson. I sat down at that checkers table, and he beat me in 3 games of checkers, I think, in about 5 minutes, okay? He just knew the game, okay? Next. Then he'd go, "You can't," you know. he'd been playing for years. As soon as we were done with game number 3, he goes, "Now, son, for you to be a soul winner, you need to memorize these verses." Gave me 3 sheets of Bible verses. I'm very thankful I had about half of them already memorized. He said, "Next week you come and see me," he said, "and I'll start working with you." I was like, wow, that was my journey. "Follow me and I will make you fishers." If ever you get, how can a Christian walk around like one? "I just don't know why I'm here. I'm just taking up time." God told us why we're here. I know what I'm supposed to be doing while I'm here. Purposelessness scares me. And I hate watching Christians wander. "Well, nothing really matters." My goodness. You know what? After having COVID, I know why I'm here. I knew why I was here before. But I like thinking like a Brother Miller thinks. You know, he had his heart attack. He's living on borrowed time. I get to be here for the Lord. Amen. I get to be here for the Lord. Christian, I hope this, it's a heavy verse. I know it's a children's song. "Follow, make you fishers, fishers." But it's a heavy truth. And it's one that'll carry you through life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, for the truth. Lord, please help us to not get so wrapped up.